Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Christopher Jones Cruz, Pete Musto, Brian Lynn, Phil Dierking, and Alice Bryant. Later, Anna Mateo will bring us this week's health report. But first, here is Christopher Jones Cruz.
Some European leaders are worried that Russia will try to influence their elections this year. The concerns come as possible Russian interference in the United States presidential election last year continues to be debated. There will be national elections in France, Germany, and the Netherlands in 2017. Experts say Russia is already trying to help some candidates win. Russia denies that it is doing so. German Chancellor Angela Merkel will seek a fourth term in office this year. She has led efforts in Europe to punish Russia for taking actions that democratic nations oppose. Experts say she is the European leader that Russia would most like to see voted out of office. In December, Merkel said Germany must be ready to stop attempts by other countries to interfere with its elections.
Dazu müssen wir auch die Menschen sehr informieren.
We have to inform people and express our political convictions clearly. We also should not allow ourselves to be irritated. We just have to know that there's such a thing and learn to live with it.
Almost 1 million migrants entered Germany in 2015. Some Germans do not support such a large number. Experts say Russia will try to use anti-immigrant activists to help oust Merkel. And they say Russia will likely increase what are being called disinformation activities in the months and weeks before the election. Ian Bond is an analyst at the Center for European Reform.
They can target it both in France and in Germany, but because Angela Merkel herself has been so closely identified with the policy of admitting refugees and asylum seekers to Germany, it is, I think, an area of vulnerability for her.
The Alternative for Germany political party opposes immigrants. It has been gaining support, as measured by public opinion studies. Thorsten Benner is an expert at the Global Public Policy Institute. He says pressure on the German government could increase if the migrant situation in Europe gets worse. Anti-immigrant political parties throughout Europe have sought close relationships with Russia. Marine Le Pen is the leader of one of those parties, the National Front in France. A Russian bank provided her with a $10 million loan to help her election campaign. Bond says the anti-immigrant parties share one goal. They want to cause division in the European Union.
And from a Russian point of view, if you can divide Europe, if you can then pick off individual states and make them feel more vulnerable or make them feel that they have to accommodate themselves to Russia, then that's a huge win.
Bond says when Donald Trump becomes president in January, European unity will be tested.
Trump himself, like Putin, seems to share this preference for dealing with countries in Europe bilaterally rather than multilaterally. And so I think he is not going to shed many tears if, in fact, the EU is weakened as a result of Russian activity in European elections in the coming months.
Trump has said NATO allies should pay more for their defense. But he has not said he wants the European Union weakened. European leaders hope that by talking about their worries long before elections are held, they can stop any attempts by Russia to influence voters. But experts say Russia has already begun spreading propaganda to increase its influence. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
Officials in Bahrain are searching for 10 escaped prisoners charged with terrorism. The prisoners escaped after armed gunmen attacked Jaw Prison, located south of the capital city Manama, on Sunday. The Bahrain Interior Ministry described the attack on Twitter. It said the five attackers were part of a terrorist group armed with automatic weapons. One police officer was killed in the attack. Seven of the prisoners were serving life sentences for what the ministry called terrorist acts. The other three were serving long sentences. Bahrain is a small island nation off the coast of Saudi Arabia. The country has faced low-level unrest since the 2011 Arab Spring protests. During those protests, crowds took to the streets to demonstrate against their leaders in several Middle Eastern and North African countries. At that time, Bahrain's Shiite Muslim majority and others demanded greater political freedoms from the nation's Sunni Muslim rulers. Shiites have argued the Sunni-led monarchy does not treat them fairly. The government denies these claims. The government began a campaign against protesters in April. Officials arrested several well-known political leaders and forced others into exile. They have also put thousands of people, mostly Shiites, into prison for being involved in anti-government activities. The United States Navy's Fifth Fleet has a base on the island. Britain also is opening a naval base there. I'm Pete Musto.
China and Nepal are preparing to hold their first ever joint military exercises. Officials from both countries confirmed. A spokesman for China's defense ministry said last week the two nations had agreed during talks to hold joint military drills. He did not provide details, adding that more information would be released later. The spokesman said the militaries of China and Nepal have cooperated with, in his words, mutual respect over a period of time. He added that the past cooperation led to the planning of the first joint military exercises. A Nepal army spokesman said Chinese troops would train Nepali forces in ways to deal with hostage situations involving terrorist groups. Training in managing natural disasters will also take place, the official said. India has held military drills with Nepal for years. Experts say the joint military cooperation between China and Nepal is a sign of strengthening ties between the two countries. In recent years, Beijing has provided Nepal with millions of dollars to help build roads, hospitals, and other infrastructure. China has also signed agreements to supply energy to remote mountain areas. One China expert in New Delhi, Jardeva Ranadi, told VOA that Indian officials will be carefully watching the new exercises. He questioned whether the military relationship was going to expand or remain a one-time event. Ranadi also said that India considers Nepal part of its strategic space. Any increased Chinese presence in Nepal brings China right up to India's border, which is very porous, he noted. Nepal's ambassador to India, Deep Upadhyay, said India should not be worried about the exercises affecting relations with Nepal. He told the Times of India newspaper the drills will be small and will likely not have any long-term implications. There's really not much in it. Whichever way you look at it, Nepal has a special relationship with India, and that's not going to change because of any such exercise, he said. I'm Brian Lynn.
Antonio Guterres became the 9th United Nations Secretary General on Sunday. The term of former UN leader Ban Ki-moon ended at midnight, December 31st. Guterres is a former Prime Minister of Portugal. At the UN, he served as the High Commissioner for Refugees. He told the UN in his speech that the question of how to help millions of people caught in conflict and war weighs heavily on his heart. Guterres said that civilians are faced with deadly force, killed and injured, forced from their homes, and put into poverty. He also said that unfortunately, even hospitals and aid groups are not safe from violence. Guterres called on the UN to make one shared New Year's resolution. Let us resolve to put peace first. In support of the goal of peace, Guterres called for measures from solidarity and kindness in people's daily lives to dialogue and respect for political differences. He said peace should be a guide when seeking ceasefires or compromise while negotiating solutions to problems. Guterres has promised to bring people together at a time when the U.S. President-elect Donald Trump has voiced concerns about the effectiveness of the UN. The new Secretary General promised to work with the Trump administration to seek cooperation on the challenges facing the U.S. and UN in the coming years. Outgoing Secretary General Ban told the UN in his final speech Friday that he is so very proud to have worked with them for the past 10 years. He asked UN members to set goals and pay attention to important issues facing the world. These issues, he said, include sustainable development, climate change, women's empowerment, youth empowerment, and others. Bon urged members to never give up, to keep dreaming, to keep believing, and to keep working hard until we achieve progress. He asked the UN to place importance on rights and to stand up for those who are left behind, including those who do not get attention from the world community but still need help. He said he felt a bit like Cinderella because of the quick change at midnight. But he promised always to be a global citizen and said his heart will always be with the people he worked with at the United Nations. I'm Phil Dierking.
Recently, dangerous levels of air pollution spread over several major cities in China. The problem shows that China has much to do to fight pollution. But China is also changing the way it deals with the problem. In the past, local governments, including officials in the capital, Beijing, would have denied the problem. But during the recent period of smog, schools and some polluting factories were closed. Also, the number of cars permitted on city streets was limited. Environmental groups say the number of clear days is increasing. More people are paying attention to the deadly effects of microscopic air pollutants called PM2.5. These small particles can harm human lungs. During the 5-day pollution crisis, state-run Xinhua News Agency reports that 15 million face masks were sold online. Recently, China's National People's Congress passed a new environmental tax. The tax affects polluters of air, water, and solids. Noise pollution is also among the things that can be taxed. The new law aims to pressure polluters and give the government more enforcement power. The law aims to deal with the failure of local governments to watch, enforce, and punish polluters. For nearly 40 years, China has been collecting fees from polluters. However, the system did not work well. Under the old pollution fee law, local governments placed more importance on economic growth than the environment. Yuan Ying works for the Climate and Energy Unit of Greenpeace East Asia in Beijing. She said a pollution tax is a good step. She said the new policy will help cause local governments to make tougher rules for companies that pollute. In the past, local officials from China's Ministry of Environmental Protection were responsible for collecting pollution fees, and the system was easy to abuse. Earlier this month, state media reported that investigations this year have led to the punishment of more than 3,700 officials for not effectively protecting the environment. Now, local tax officials will send the money directly to the local governments instead of local environmental protection departments. Environmental officials will be responsible for monitoring polluters. For years, China has been criticized for not limiting pollution because of the effect it could have on economic growth. Critics of China include Peter Navarro, the man President-elect Donald Trump has appointed as the head of what he is calling the National Trade Council. These critics argue that weak enforcement is unfair because China uses it to cut costs for its companies. These savings can make their products more competitive. But in recent years, public awareness and opposition has grown. Pressure to clean up the environment has increased. Chinese leaders see the problem affecting not only the country's water, soil, and air, but social stability too. The effect of the tax is not yet known. The new law does not take effect until January 2018. Information released by state media shows that few companies will feel pressure to pollute less. For example, the tax on 1 ton of dangerous waste is about $144. Coal mines and users are expected to pay less than $1 for 1 ton of waste. And the cost for releasing 1 kilogram of the chemical sulfur dioxide is about 17 cents. But officials say the increase in money received from the tax will be large. Last year, under the old system, officials collected $2.5 billion from about 280,000 polluters. The new tax law is expected to collect as much as $50 billion during its first year. Greenpeace's Yuan Yang said that, based on their estimates, the current rate is still too low, especially for coal-burning power plants. She said the current cost to polluters is not enough to limit or pay for the environmental costs. I'm Alice Bryant.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. In 2016, three viruses made news, and they present difficult problems for health officials in the new year. One virus threatens babies in many parts of the world. Another has reappeared in an African nation, and a third is one of the deadliest viruses of modern times. The three viruses are Zika, polio, and HIV. However, in 2016, scientists and researchers from all over the world worked to make progress against those viruses and to develop better ways to control them. The spread of the Zika virus caused public health officials in many nations to put in place strong measures to control its spread. Brazil, which hosted the 2016 Summer Olympic Games, was hit hard by the virus. Health officials warned pregnant women against traveling to the sporting event. Zika is usually a mild illness. It is so mild that most people who are infected do not know they have it. However, in the past 2 years in the Western Hemisphere, Zika has been linked to babies being born with extremely small heads. This condition is called microcephaly. The international medical community found that this link to birth defects makes Zika a very dangerous virus. Zika first appeared in Uganda more than 60 years ago.
it is spread by mosquitoes and by sex. The virus recently appeared in Brazil. Then cases appeared in other countries to the north. Cases were reported in the United States in the southern state of Florida. Health officials in Texas are also concerned the virus might be spreading there. Dr. Anthony Costello is with the World Health Organization. He says that even one child affected by Zika has a very big impact on community resources and a family's ability to deal with the results. Costello considers the disabilities caused by Zika to be a huge blow to families.
It's a public health problem of huge concern for the world. 69 countries have seen Zika virus emerge in the last 2 years. We're talking about a virus that causes brain damage and potentially lifelong disability, which is a huge blow to families.
Doctors can only advise women to be careful. They advise women not to travel to areas where the virus is spreading, to avoid mosquito bites, or to delay pregnancy. Currently, there is no vaccine against Zika. However, one could be available by 2018. The return of a virus once thought to be gone or eliminated made news in 2016. The polio virus returned in Africa's most populated country, Nigeria. Continuing violence in the northern part of Nigeria had made it difficult for all children to get vaccinated. At a time when Nigeria was thought to be almost polio-free, 3 children were diagnosed with the virus. Polio continues to exist in another conflict area, along the border of Pakistan and Afghanistan. But vaccination efforts continue to give health officials hope that polio can finally be eliminated. Polio infections have decreased by 99% since 1988. In that year, there were about 350,000 cases. In 2016, there were fewer than 40. In December, Dr. Anthony Fauci of the National Institutes of Health discussed testing of an experimental vaccine for HIV, the virus that causes AIDS. Testing on a vaccine started in South Africa. The National Institutes of Health is partly funding the effort. However, Fauci warns that the process will take time and effort.
An HIV vaccine is not going to be easy. We may not even know if we're going to get a vaccine.
He adds, improvements in treatments for AIDS have lengthened the lives of those who have the disease.
Today, the combinations of therapies we have for individuals, if someone's in their 20s and gets infected and comes in and gets on a combination of drugs, you could predict that they would live an additional 50 years, 50. That is one of the most extraordinary advances in the transition from basic research to an applicable intervention in any field of medicine.
An effective HIV vaccine could finally mean the end for the deadly virus. HIV has infected more than 70 million people and has killed 35 million people over the past 50 years. I'm Ana Mateo.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.